It's really awkward being at a party and feeling like a stranger. My first job after uni, I worked at quite a large research centre, and there were hundreds of staff, and I started the week straight after uni, probably the first week of December. And so what did that mean? Well, it meant that I had to face the work Christmas party, and I'd only been working there for a couple of weeks. It was a pretty awkward experience. I worked in the smallest team on site, and I hadn't even really got to know anyone in my group, let alone all the people from across the site. So I remember what I did. I just lined up. I got my disposable plate full of food, and even though work had been cancelled for the afternoon, I went back to my desk. I admit I wasn't the only one who went back to their desk, but I was one of the few. Went back to my desk and ate there. I felt like a stranger, like an outsider. Maybe you've had that experience for Christmas lunch. Maybe Christmas was the first time you met a girlfriend or boyfriend's family. It can be really awkward, can't they? Even though you've been invited and you are meant to be there, you don't know what's expected or what the traditions will be, and the relationships might just be a little bit awkward. You may have seen this online the last couple of weeks. There's been a great little drama series going around. It's called Meet the Nativity. It tells that story. When the daughter brings her boyfriend home for Christmas, he's meeting the family for the first time, and it's a pretty strained story. If you haven't seen it, you can check it out on YouTube. It's in four parts. It's only about 20 minutes. The guts of the story is that each of these characters meet the Nativity, how Jesus meets them and their needs. And maybe that's how you feel here today. Maybe church isn't something you normally do, and you may have turned up today feeling a bit anxious, feeling a bit like an outsider. Well, if that's how you've been feeling, then relax, because the big message of Christmas is that Jesus came for outsiders. Jesus came for people who don't feel like they belong. And we're going to see that today from that last Bible reading, the visitors from a strange land who visit the infant Jesus. Now these visitors, they are international men of mystery. They're a strange bunch. There's lots we don't know about them. They're called Magi, and we're told that they come from the east. Most likely that means they come from Babylon or Persia. These days that's Iraq and Iran, which is east of Jerusalem. And they're called Magi. They're probably magicians or astrologers. They were likely like top-level public servants giving advice, magical advice, to the government. And these Magi have come about 900 or so kilometres across the desert. And these camels, they didn't come fitted with aircon. And it would have taken them about a month. And they've done this because they believe the King of the Jews has been born. So let's have a look at what happens, starting at sentence number one. It's on the left-hand side of your bulletin there. Sentence number one, which says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. This star the Magi mention, it's a big part of our Christmas celebrations. We put stars on top of our Christmas trees, even on our roofs. And there's that really big one on top of the water tower on Old Maryborough Road, though I think it's only half a star this year, isn't it? In our nativity plays, there's always a kid who gets to play the star. I reckon that's probably just one step up from getting to be a tree. Now this star, it's a pretty central in our Christmas celebrations. But what the Bible says about this star is very, very strange, isn't it? It's strange, well, first of all, because these Magi are astrologers, which is normally condemned in the Bible. But it seems by God's grace, he somehow has communicated that the Messiah, the promised King of Israel, the one who will be called God with us, as we heard yesterday, somehow God has communicated through the night sky to the Magi that this world-changing event had happened. Very strange, because normally astrologers would be talked about very poorly in the Bible, but somehow God is using these astrologers and he's communicating to them that way. And what is it that these Magi have seen? Well, it's been pretty popular to think that they've seen a supernatural thing. Maybe an angel or God makes some kind of glowy thing in the sky that looked like a star. Though there are good reasons to think that the Magi saw a regular astronomical event. Something regular, but which God orchestrated to point to the birth of Jesus. There's quite a few theories out there. Most popular is that what they saw was the conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn or something like that. I've been reading a book over the last few weeks that argues quite persuasively that it was more likely a comet. But whatever it was, something happened in the sky to make these Magi think God's Messiah had been born. Most likely they put together the movement of this star or comet or whatever it was in the night sky with what they knew from the Jewish scriptures, the Old Testament, because there had been Jewish people living in the East for about 600 years, so clearly they know the Old Testament. They must know things in the Bible like Isaiah chapter 9, which talks about a light dawning, or Numbers 25, which talks about a star rising in Israel. And they read the stars and they put it together with the Bible and they come to the conclusion, it's happened. God's Messiah is born. And so they go to the place you'd expect a new king to be, the capital city. But their assumption is wrong. And after arriving in Jerusalem, it's actually King Herod, the current king of the Jewish people, who does some more research and points the Magi in the right direction. Now, on Sunday, next week, this coming Sunday, we'll be hearing about Herod and his response to the Messiah. But for now, let's skip down to sentence number 8. And we'll see that Herod gives the Magi a shove in the right direction. He tells them, well, if the Messiah has been born, he'll be in Bethlehem. And so they head off again. And not only has Herod pointed them in the right direction, but God leads them right to where they need to be. Have a listen there from sentence number 8. Herod, sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Now, this star going on ahead and stopping over a home, it sounds extraordinarily strange, doesn't it? Far-fetched. Now, I don't want to get caught up in the theories and arguments, but it is the kind of things that comets are described as doing. And there are other regular astronomical theories as to what the Magi saw at this point. But no arguments for me. Even if it's a regular natural event, this is a strange event, isn't it? There are strange things happening in the heavens. There are strangers coming into Jerusalem asking about Messiah's being born. But all these strange things lead to the Magi coming to Jesus, although they're strangers, although they're foreigners, although they're astrologers, they are welcomed and they worship. Have a look at sentence number 11. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh. Now, what's the deal with these gifts, the gold, frankincense and myrrh? These Magi have come to pay tribute to a king. A king whose birth wasn't just announced on Facebook or some gossip mag hasn't paid thousands of dollars for exclusive pics. No, that was too small for this baby. His birth was announced in the stars. And so these Magi have brought lavish gifts. In nativity plays, the Magi often bring, teeny tiny little gifts to bring. But these guys, they're bringing their riches to Jesus. Gifts fit for the Messiah, the king God promised long ago. These are gifts fit for a king. When Will and Kate had baby George, the Northern Territory government gave him a gift. A crocodile. Now that is a pretty strange gift. I don't know what a baby's going to do with it. But that's the thing about gifts given to royalty. You don't give a baby king onesies and booties. You give tribute to a king. You give lavish, expensive gifts, gifts that communicate your allegiance to the king. not gifts that a baby actually needs. Now, lots of people have said that these gifts are strange, but symbolic. Now, as I was saying the song in We Three Kings of Orient, it says that gold symbolises that Jesus is a king, and frankincense symbolises divinity, and the myrrh points to his suffering on the cross. Look, there might be something to it, but I reckon they're reading too much into the story there. These are simply valuable things. It's paying tribute to a great king. And even though I love the song We Three Kings, and I chose for us to sing it today, it pushes the details a bit. These gifts show that these strange people from far away, who are outsiders, they're offering loyalty to a newborn king. Though the Magi are doing more than offering loyalty to a great king, we're told that they bowed down and worshipped this little baby. Now, bowing down and worshipping can just be a way of showing respect to a king. But we're meant to see more. Baby Jesus doesn't look like a king. He's in a poor family house in a little village. The Magi can only be bowing down and worshipping because they are worshipping the God made flesh, the one whose birth shook the stars. And I reckon as the Magi sat around and they chatted with Mary and Joseph, and they told them about the sign they'd seen in the sky and how they'd rushed to the Jewish scriptures to interpret it, and then they told them about their journey and how Herod had so generously helped them along their way. And then as Mary and Joseph told them about angelic visits and dreams, they would have been sure, yes, this baby is the one we are to worship. Even though they knew they were strangers. That's the key message about these Magi. Everything about the Magi makes them outsiders and strangers. They come from a faraway land. They aren't part of God's chosen people. They're astrologers and pagans. These Magi are outsiders and strangers to God. And actually, with the story of Jesus' birth, that's where you and I fit in. With the story of Jesus' birth, we are the outsiders and strangers. We are like the Magi, a long way from God. The big story of the Bible is that despite being made by God, we are all strangers and outsiders when it comes to God. The Bible tells us that we've all turned away from God. We've rejected God, his love, his kindness, and we live as if God isn't there. We either deliberately tell him to shove off, or we passively ignore him. Either way, we've put ourselves on the outside when it comes to God. But the message of the Magi is Jesus came for outsiders. He came to bring strangers near. And although Jesus is the one born King of the Jews, he's not just King of the Jews, he's the King of the Magi. He's the King of everyone. He's the King of the world. This Christmas you might feel that with Jesus you are a bit of a stranger. When it comes to God you might feel a bit awkward. You might wonder if you're really invited. Surely Jesus didn't come for someone like you. This account of the Magi visiting and worshipping Jesus, the reason this is in the Bible, the reason we are told this account is to say loudly and clearly, with Jesus, everyone is welcome. Jesus is King for everyone. And so this Christmas, what should our response to Jesus be? Was to do what the Magi did. We're to receive Jesus as King. And how do we do that? Well, it means turning to him, trusting and following him. And we're to worship him as God. And what does that mean? Well, it means turning from other gods and receiving Jesus, the one conceived by the Spirit, the only Son of the Father, receiving him as God. If this is something you haven't done before, if you feel like a stranger when it comes to God, please, on your way out or at morning tea, there are some gifts we'd like to give you. There's a bunch of gifts there in the foyer. There's this little book here, which is a copy of Luke's biography of Jesus. There's some other short booklets which are for kids and adults that keep talking about how we can know God, how we can be friends with God, how we can be not strangers when it comes to God. There's also a DVD there, more for kids than for adults. So if you haven't bought any presents for your grandkids yet, there you go. You can get one on the way out. But we'd love you to take some of these. And if you get some quiet this afternoon or some quiet on Boxing Day in between overs and on the test, have a read to keep hearing about how Jesus is for everyone, even for you. We're going to pray now. We're going to pray and thank God that Jesus is King for everyone, and then we're going to sing again. So please join with me as we pray. Father God, thanks so much for Jesus. Thanks that Jesus was born, lived, died, and rose, so that although we are outsiders to you, we don't have to stay this way. Thank you that Jesus came near to us to bring us to you. Thank you that because of Jesus, we don't have to be strangers or outsiders, but can be friends and children of God. Please help us to be like the Magi, to come to Jesus, to give to him our tribute and loyalty, to worship him as God and King. We pray that Jesus' fame might spread throughout the earth, that there might be many, many more people like the Magi who, despite right now being a long way from you, might hear of his glory and grace and come to worship him. And we ask these things that the honour might be all Christ's. Amen.